Good evening. As I had mentioned, I will intersperse throughout. We're going to be doing some things in the Gospels on Sunday nights, but I will intersperse some questions that were put forward by the congregation. There are still several that were sent in and that I didn't answer, and I promised that I would answer all of them. So I will answer them. If it's on my list, I will get to it. So this one tonight is one, you can see I put a picture of a child there, is asked by a young boy, and his parents submitted it. And so I will answer the question the way that I would answer it to my own sons. The question, as you can see there, is how can I know God? How can a person know God? And this has to do with, I think, knowing his character, knowing which God is the true God, but also even deeper than that, how can I know that God is listening? How can I know that God hears my prayers? Where does that sense of confidence come from? So it's a question asked by a young person, and yet it's an important question that is one that I think is good for all of us to look at. So we'll spend just a little bit of time tonight answering that question. And there are a few parts to this. The first is that you must know that there is a God. That is where it all begins. And how can I know God? Well, you have to know that there is a God. And of course, the evidence for God is absolutely everywhere. We do try to it's really interesting living in this narrow part of history where there are so many who don't believe in God, which is very abnormal for all of history. Everyone, even throughout history, even if they didn't agree on who he was, they all knew that there was a God. And the evidence for him is all over the place. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that the things that can be known about God are plain because God has shown it to us in the things that have been made. You look out, you can see the eternal power. You can see the divine nature of whoever it was that made this world. You can also gather some things about him. You can gather that he is artistic, that he is certainly concerned with beauty and with goodness, because the world is beautiful and good in so many respects. We can look on it and see the color, and we can know that he cares about that. We can look on the various flavors that he has given to us, and we can know that he wishes for us to have joy. So you can gather that there is a God. You can gather some general things about him. And some of the just basic points behind knowing that there is a God, we know that something cannot come from nothing. And, you know, if I'm talking to my children, I may say, does a flower ever just appear in the middle of a field? Just, boop, flower? No. Something has to come from something else. So if you're looking at something, you know that it came from somewhere. We also know that chaos doesn't produce order. And when you look into the cosmos, there is amazing, precise order everywhere. Order from the biggest scale in our, in the universal level, or down to our solar system and the planets that are always orbiting. I'm always amazed that we know exactly when the next solar eclipse is going to be. How do they know when it's going to be? Because it's that precise. They knew when the solar eclipse was coming, that it was coming, because it's that precise. So there's order everywhere. Chaos doesn't do that. So whatever made this world had to be a higher being. It had to be an intelligence. It had to be one of order. But also, even beyond the physical, one of the chief realities in this world is the moral goodness that everyone everywhere is concerned with. we are not like the animals who don't seem to care about what is right and what is wrong. They don't have a conscience. But human beings everywhere, even within the different religious factions, everyone is concerned with what is right and what is wrong. All of the religious texts are concerned with it. And we're concerned with it. That says something about where we came from. We came from someone who is concerned with morality. So you have to know that there is a God, and you can gather a lot of that by these general observations. But then you need to know who this God is. And, you know, this point is, I'm glad this child asked this question, and I think that this part of the question is so important for you and me, because I grew up in a Christian home, and I was taught the Bible from my youngest age. And I know it's the same for many of you, and all of us have grown up in, really, generally a Christian society. This society takes for granted the person of Jesus and the golden rule, and some of these things that we just think, well, it doesn't everybody know that. But the Christian faith is truly unique. When you're getting to the bottom of who God is, how much study have you done of the various world religions? Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. What's really interesting when you start looking into those religions is that these religions did not take place in real history and in the real world. They are very mystical and very distant, and if there is a God, he's usually apathetic, and you have to do everything you can to get his attention, or you have to reach out to your ancestors to try and get his attention. But those gods and those religions don't really care about the creation. They're not concerned. They are apathetic. And the stories within them, they're not really set on helping you to get to know God. The Christian faith, which we take for granted, is one where God, from the beginning in heaven, has been reaching down, has been coming down. He physically did it in the person of Jesus. He did it all through history in the prophets. God had a will, and he came down into the real world, and he made it known. The Bible, the amazing story of the Bible, is that the God of heaven reached down and spoke to us, and he spoke through various ways. You know, the Hebrews chapter 1, at many times and in many ways, he spoke to our fathers by the prophets. One time he spoke through a donkey. God spoke through big events in the Exodus or the parting of the Red Sea. He spoke by way of the manna in the wilderness. But all of this is happening on a chronological time, in chronological time. God is speaking, and he's actually interacting with the world. That's a point that we, I think, take for granted, that in our faith, the true God has made himself known to us. He wants to know us. There's a story in the book of Genesis where Hagar, the maid of Sarah, runs off into the wilderness because she was in some kind of duress because of her son Ishmael and some issues happening there. And she runs into the wilderness, and she's sad. This one person who would have thought, nobody sees me, nobody cares about me, runs into the wilderness, and God speaks to her there. And God gives a comforting word there. And she says, you are, she calls him El Roy, which is the God who sees. You are the God who sees me. That was her statement. God sees. God not only sees, but he cares. He interacts. He has compassion. Our God that we worship is not at all like the gods in these other religions. Christianity happened in public. Jesus was crucified in public. Jesus' miracles happened in public. I mentioned in Bible class the other night, on Wednesday night, about this statement from Josephus called the Testimonium Flavinium. So it's a statement of this testimony of Flavius Josephus, who made an amazing statement in the first century. He spoke about Jesus as being the one that was the Christ, as being the one who performed many miraculous deeds, as being the one who appeared to a bunch of these his disciples. And Josephus makes this statement, and there is this scholar, T.C. Schmidt, who has written this extensive work showing that that was an authentic statement from Josephus. He really said that. Now, what's amazing about that is, in the first century, a secular historian is writing about Jesus with some precise accuracy about what we would claim. What's amazing is Jesus really lived, and people really saw him, and miracles really happened, and the crucifixion happened, and then the resurrection happened. It didn't happen in private. You want to know, how can I know God? Well, God has made himself known to you. We didn't reach out to him. He reached out to us, and he has made himself known. And he appeared to so many. Jesus appeared to more than 500. He appeared to all of the apostles. People's lives were changed. People were running from Jesus, then they saw him, and then they said, oh, he's real, and then they decided to follow him. It happened in public. What's amazing about that is the founder of Islam, Muhammad, claimed 600 years after Christ, he claimed that an angel came to him when he was on this mountain and gave him this series of revelations to write down. What's the difference? He, one man, had a private revelation apart from anyone else, no corroboration from anyone or anything else, and then he persuaded a bunch of people to follow him. Christianity happened very publicly. Jesus was raised up publicly. Tons saw it. So this Bible tells a real history. And so that's how we know God. We know God by this story. Third, you know God intellectually. You know him in your mind. You know who he is by studying what he has revealed about himself here. To the young person asking, how can I know God? You can know God in this book. Come to this. And this is so important. In a world where we're often told to follow our own heart, to listen to our own feelings, we're often wrong. My feelings are often wrong. The way that I think about things is often wrong. We can know God by coming to his word and seeing what was revealed to us. But more than just knowing him in our mind, how do I know him with my heart? I'm always struck by that story in the book of Mark, when the man came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, if you can, I'd like for you to heal my son. And what did Jesus say? He said, if you can, as though there is a condition. And then Jesus said, everything is possible for those who believe. And the man said this, I believe, help my unbelief. Have you ever felt that? Do you know how many times in my life I've prayed that? I've said to God, I do believe. I do believe. Help my unbelief. It's like a disconnect. Something up here, I know it. I don't necessarily know it here. I can know it by studying this, and I come to believe it to be true, but I still have this unbelief. How do I get past that? How do I know it here? How do I believe it here? And the way to do that is by personally drawing near to God in what the Bible calls constant prayer. Paul talks about being filled up with God's Spirit, and this being something that we actively and constantly do. This is a lifetime thing. It doesn't happen all at once. But how can I truly, how can I personally know God? Pray without ceasing. We try to make it more complex than that. You might even say, but I've tried that. Keep doing it. Don't stop. It's precisely at the point where our feelings don't coincide with something that we know to be true that we must listen to our knowledge here and not listen to the feeling that would say, time to stop praying. Keep praying. Keep doing it. And God makes himself known by prayer. Now, we come to know him in that way. Now, I think there's an important question or an important aspect of this. I mean, you can look through the Bible and you can see every great person of faith was a person of prayer. Moses, Jesus, David, Paul, all of them, we have record of them being constant in their prayers. They were strong in their faith. There's a correlation between their prayers. They were praying constantly. But how can you know that he hears? To the young man asking, how can he know? How does he know God hears? Well, how do you come to trust anyone? How do you come to trust your father? How do you come to trust your mother? When you are in a strange place and mom and dad are here and there's strangers all around, how do you know I'm running over here to mom and dad? I'm going to tuck behind them. I'm going to be close to them. You know that because of time that you've spent with them and because of their own track record. You've seen them swoop you up when you were hurt. You've witnessed that. That has been experienced. You come to know them by their track record. In the Bible, we see God's track record. How many countless prophecies did the prophets of old say would come to pass hundreds of years before they happened, thousands of years even? And then it happened, and it came to pass. We see God always keep his word. He never, ever lies. And we have the privilege of looking into the word and seeing people who are grappling with prayer and the very same kind of question that's being asked here. They're saying, God, how can I know that you hear me? Because they recognize God does not always immediately grant everything that they ask for. And so they're asking, how can I know that you hear me? We see them struggling in their prayers. And the faithful answer comes in time. It doesn't come immediately, but it comes in time. And I want to finish by reading, I really think the key to this. You know, when I was a little boy, I was five, and I was wanting to learn to ride my bicycle. And so I went outside to the street with my bicycle with no, I didn't have any training wheels. And I tried and I tried and I tried, and I ran into my mom. And I said, Mom, I asked God if I could ride my bike, and he said no. And my mom said, well, keep asking and keep trying. So I went back outside, and I prayed again, and a little bit later, I rode my bike. And I ran in so excited, and I said, Mom, I did it. And she said, and who helped you to do it? I said, nobody. I did it all by myself. She said, no, who helped you to do it? And I eventually said, God did. As a boy, my perspective was that if I ask for something, the only evidence of God really hearing it is if what is if what I asked for comes to pass. But in time and over your life, you come to know there are many things you will ask for that God himself will not say yes to. Many times, God will even say, no, I'm not going to give that. Just as our parents would say, no, you're not having ice cream right before bed. Just as they would say, no, you're not staying up an extra hour late on a school night. God, just like that, will say no to certain things. But one thing you can know for certain, that he hears and that he will answer positively, is told in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Over the course of your life, you come to find that God will absolutely answer always those things which are for my best in accordance with his will. And so the Christian life, and the Christian who's going to have the most prayers answered, is the Christian who brings their life the most into conformity with God's will. Because as it comes into conformity with his will, those are the things you ask for. And those are the things that you are certain to have granted to you. God hears. We know that he does because of his proven track record. We know that he is real because of the resurrection of Jesus. We know that he is good because of the world that he has made. And so the encouragement is one that you and I have encouraged each other with from the very beginning, and we will continue to do it. Read your Bible and pray every day. Don't we sing that? That's not just a kid's song. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you will know God, and he will make himself known to you. If you have any need at all, let it be known while we stand and sing.